Okay. So we're learning Perek Tes of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. Now, we haven't learned in some time because of the Yomim Tovim. So just to review a little bit of the story of Perek Tes, it's a little bit of a strange story, but it begins with basically an introduction to Shaul. Right? It starts with his father. It was a fellow by the name of Kish, that was Shaul's father. And talks about Shaul. It calls the beginning of Perek Tes in Pasuk Beis, refers to Shaul as a he was a Bachur Vatov. He was a good boy, he was a good man. Ve'ein ish mibnei Yisrael tov mimenu. There was no one greater than him among the Jewish people. Mishichmo v'amala gavoh mikol ha'am. And physically also, he had a certain prowess. He was taller than everyone else. He was tall, good-looking, had good midos. As they say in the world of Shiduchim, Alamilus. He had Alamilus. Yeah, he was a good catch. And then the psukim go on to describe this very strange incident. Vatovadna ha'asonos, l'kish avi Shaul. So Kish, the father of Shaul, loses his donkeys. He loses his donkeys, they get lost. And he tells his son, take one of the ne'arim, take one of the servants, and go look for the donkeys. So the psukim describe how Shaul and this servant go all over. They travel all over the countryside. They travel to Har Ephraim, and to this place, and to that place, and they can't find the donkeys anywhere. So Shaul is ready to give up, and he says, okay, listen, we can't find these donkeys. Let's go home, because pretty soon my father's going to stop worrying about the donkeys, and he's going to start worrying about us. So the Nar, this servant that's with him, says, you know what? Let's try one last thing. Let's try one last thing, because there's an Ish Elokim. There's a prophet, man of God, referring to Shmuel, obviously, in this city. They were right in near Shmuel city. So he says, let's go and let's ask this fellow, this man of God, and maybe he'll be able to help us. So Shaul at first is a little hesitant. He says, you know, we have nothing to give him. If we go to a man of God, we're supposed to offer him something. We don't have anything. So the Nar says, don't worry, we have something here. We'll give it to him. You know, don't worry, let's just go. So they end up going, and they find these young girls outside drawing water, and they ask, you know, where's the Navi? And they say, you know what, he just got back today. He was out, you know, helping the people. He just got back. They're about to bring a karban at the Bama. There was a Bama at that time. And go quickly into the city, because he's here, and I'm sure you're going to meet him. And Shaul and the Nar go into the city. Okay. That's pretty much what we got up to last time. Yes, this is after B'nai Yisrael asked for a king. Yeah, B'nai Yisrael asked for a king. No, we don't know who it was. No. No, because Yonah's son was Shaul's son. But it doesn't, it's not, no. It sounds like this Nar was not a relative. This was just one of the young servants, you know, one of the young men that they had in the house. Okay.
So did Hashem tell Shmuel how to find this thing or no?
Oh, okay. So that's what we're coming to right now. Okay. So this is what we're up to. We're up to Pasuk Tes Vav. Perek Tes Pasuk Tes Vav. Okay. So again, you have Shaul and this Nar are now in the city, and they're coming to see Shmuel. And Pasuk Tesvav says, Vashem gala es ozen Shmuel yom echad lifnei bo Shaul lemor. That Kadosh Baruch Hu came to Shmuel, the Navi, and one day before Shaul's arrival, and he told him the following. This is what he said to him. A day earlier. Right? A day earlier. Right now, you know, Shaul's already here. So the Navi's telling us yesterday, a day earlier, this is what happened. The Kadosh Baruch Hu came to Shmuel, and this is what happened. Hashem tells Shmuel, Ka'es Machar, at this time, tomorrow, Eshlach Eilecha Ish Me'eretz Binyamin. I'm going to send you an individual from Eretz Binyamin. Shaul we know was from Shevet Binyamin. U'meshachto l'nagid al Ami Yisrael. And I want you to anoint him as a Nagid. Nagid is a leader. It's interesting, doesn't use the word Melech. Okay, we'll see in a second. V'hoshia es Ami miyad plishtim ki ra'isi es Ami ki ba'atza kaso elai. And this king, this Nagid, this leader will save my nation from the hands of the Plishtim. The Plishtim, of course, were the non-Jews at the time that were oppressing Bnei Yisrael, because I see what they're going through, right? Ki ra'isi es Ami, because I see what they're going through. Ki ba'atza kaso elai, and I hear their cries. They're crying out to me out of pain, so I hear their cries. The Radak points out that essentially what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is that he sees the disgrace of Bnei Yisrael. That Bnei Yisrael is in a low place, is in a degraded, disgraced state, because the Plishtim are essentially just oppressing them, you know, having their way with them. So Bnei Yisrael is in a disgraced state. And he says also that Shmuel at this time was old. Right, Shmuel was old, even though we know he wasn't that old, because the Pasuk says that Shmuel died in 52. Right, in 52 we know was not that old. But at the same time, the Psukim seem to indicate, and the Mefarshim seem to indicate, that he didn't have the same strength that he did when he was younger. When he was younger, he would go out and he would travel the countryside and, you know, give everybody Musar and help everyone, be shofet to everyone. And he didn't have that ability anymore to travel and to accomplish the way that he used to. So because of that, people started sinning, right? Shmuel didn't have the same influence that he did when he was younger, and people started sinning once again. And we know the cycle. Once Bnei Yisrael starts sinning, so then they don't have as many merits, they don't have as many zechuyos. If they don't have as many merits, so then the Plishtim, or whoever the enemy is at the time, at this time it was the Plishtim, will end up on top, will end up oppressing them, to the point where Bnei Yisrael will cry out to Hashem. And that's what's happening here. But that's exactly what's happening here. The Malbim says also that what did Hashem see when he says Ra'isi es Ami? So again, the Radak says Hashem saw the disgrace of Bnei Yisrael. The Malbim says it's not just that he saw the disgrace, but he also saw that this is what the nation wants. Right? The nation wants a king. And as we've said in the past, that once the nation wanted a king, then the nation needed a king. Once they wanted a king, it became a necessity. It became something that they needed to lead them, to put them on the right track. I just saw right before, I saw two interesting thoughts brought on the bottom of the Art Scroll Navi here. So they make two points. One point is that it refers to Shaul as a Nagid, right? U'meshachto l'Nagid. So the question is, why doesn't it say U'meshachto l'Melech? Right? The people asked for a king, so why not just say that he anointed, you know, he's going to anoint him to be a king? Why did they say U'meshachto l'Nagid? So they quote the Me'iri and Horios. Me'iri and Horios, who says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not use the word Melech because this kingship would only be temporary. Because we know that Yaakov gave a bracha to Yehuda, that Yehuda was going to be, the Malucha was going to come from Shevet Yehuda. Right? We know Shevet Yehuda is always the Malucha. So this was only a temporary thing. The Shaul was from Shevet Binyamin. So it's true that he was the one selected to be king because he was the most ra'wa, he was the most fitting for the role. But at the same time, this wasn't going to be a permanent thing. This is a temporary fix that Shaul was the right man for the job right now. But going forward, it was going to revert back to Shevet Yehuda. So that's why it doesn't say Lemelech, but rather it says Lenagid. And they also pointed out a beautiful thing, and I'm not sure this wasn't quoted just on the bottom, maybe the editors of the Art Scroll suggested this, but if you look throughout the Pasuk, this Pasuk particularly uses the word Ami again and again. Right? U'meshachto Lenagid al Ami. V'hoshia es Ami, miyad plishtim. Ki ro'isi es Ami, right? Three times this pasuk uses the word Ami, my nation. So what does that imply? Why does the pasuk keep repeating the word Ami? So they suggest a nice thought there, that even though Shmuel was not as strong as he once was, and even though Shmuel did not have the same influence on the people that he once did, but nevertheless, you see that Hashem's love for Bnei Yisrael never ceases. That he still calls them Ami, 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 my nation. My nation, my nation. Again and again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lovingly referring to Bnei Yisrael as his nation, because even though they didn't have the same hashpa, Shmuel was older, he was weaker. He wasn't able to be mashpi on them in the same way. But nevertheless, there was still something there. Right? There was still something that they still learned a little bit from Shmuel. Maybe the hashpa of Shmuel still remained a little bit. And therefore, that created that love, or that maintained that love of Bnei Yisrael, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu again and again refers to them, Ami, 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 three times Ami. Okay. So this was the nevuah that Shmuel received a day before, that again, at this time tomorrow, Ka'es Machar, Shmuel knew exactly what time this person was going to show up. There'll be a gentleman from Shevet Binyamin, he's going to come, he's going to be the king. Okay. So now, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Ushmuel Ra'a Es Sha'ul. So fast forward a day, 24 hours later, exactly at that time, and Shmuel sees a fellow coming. It's Shaul. He sees Shaul coming. Okay? So he knows this is the man. Right? He knows this is it. This is exactly what Hashem said. Or he may not know exactly, but he thinks, you know, maybe this is the person. Vashem Anahu. So Hashem responds, Hashem answers him, Hine Ha'ish Asher Amarti Elecha, Ze Yatzur Be'ami. The man, remember that individual that I was talking to you about yesterday, right? The one who was going to help my nation, who's literally Ze Yatzur Be'ami. This person will stop in my nation. We have to see what that language is, Yatzur. What does that mean, that this person will stop among the nation? Okay? But Hashem says, this is the one, this is the man. The Malbim says that basically Shmuel was trying to figure out, is this the guy? You know, he's looking at his watch, he says, you know, this is it, Ka'is Machar. This is the right time, right? Yesterday, 24 hours ago, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me that someone's going to come, and now it's 24 hours later, this guy's showing up. So is it the right guy? He was trying to figure out, is this the right guy or not? And Hashem responds, yes, this is the right guy. This is it. Now, the language of Yatzor, all the Mefarshim, you know, try to explain, it's a funny way of describing the role of the king, right? This is the person that I said, Ze Yatzor Ba'ami. Ze Yatzor Ba'ami. This is the person that will stop my nation. What does that mean? So Rashi says that without leadership, basically all the individuals in any collective will do whatever they want. We'll do whatever they see fit. Right? Everybody does what they want. So part of what you need a leader to do is to say Atzur. Sometimes what you need a leader to do is to stop people and say, everybody can't just do whatever they want. Everybody has to stop doing what they want and come together to act for the benefit of the community. Right? To act for the benefit of the community. Without getting political, I'm not saying, you know, one way or the other, but just as a practical example of something that we're, you know, struggling with now, you know, the lockdowns, the government lockdowns. So what are they saying? And again, without getting political, yes, no, whatever, but what are they saying? Essentially, they're filling this role. They're saying everybody's doing what they want, right? Everybody's acting in whatever way they want. So we as the government have to say Atzor. We have to say stop. Everybody has to stop doing whatever they want, and everybody has to act in a uniform way to ensure, you know, an outcome that's beneficial for the tzibur, an outcome that's beneficial for the klal. So that's the role of the king. Stop everyone's private, you know, private actions, private activities, and get everyone to do things that are beneficial to society, beneficial to the community, and that, he says, is the language of Atzur. The Radak says that the language of Atzur, of stopping, he understands it to be a little bit more focusing on the power of the king, that the king has the ability to stop you know, people in the nation from doing things that are against his will. You know, if you're not the king, so you can't stop people. People can do whatever they want. But once you're the king, you can say, hey, you're not acting in the way that I want you to act, so you can force the person to stop. So that's how he understands Atzur. He quotes the Targum Yonasan that the Atzur, that the stopping is that the king is going to stop the Plishtim, right? The Plishtim that are oppressing the Jewish people. He's going to stop the Plishtim from doing that. And finally, the Malbim, in probably the most ruchni and spiritual explanation, the Malbim says that the Atzur, the stopping is that the king is going to stop, Shaul is going to stop the people from sinning. And once he stops the people from being, from violating Chatoim, from sinning, so then they will merit a Yeshua. Because once they don't sin anymore, and they do tshuva, so then they're going to be worthy of a Yeshua, they'll be worthy of a salvation. And that's what the Atzur is. So about four different interpretations of what Zeyatzur Be'ami is, that he will stop for my nation or stop my nation. Okay. So now imagine the picture here, right? Shaul is approaching this Navi. Now keep in mind the background. Shaul is looking for his donkeys. That's all he's doing here. Okay? He wanted to go home. He's only here because the Nar convinced him, hey, there's a man of God, there's a Navi, why don't we go check it out and maybe he'll be able to help us. That's the only reason why Shaul is here. Because of this Nar. So, you know, he thinks he's going to see this Navi, and he's going to, maybe the Navi will help him find the donkeys, maybe not, and then he'll go home. That's what Shaul is expecting. Shmuel, you know, and here Shaul's walking towards Shmuel. Shmuel is walking towards Shaul with a nevuah 24 hours ago that this person is going to be the first melech over Klal Yisrael. So, you know, to me this is just like an astounding picture here, the discrepancy between the perspectives of Shaul and Shmuel. Literally, as these two individuals are coming to meet each other, you know, the disparity in what each one expects out of this conversation is just mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. And it's a little bit peculiar. It's interesting. You know, I looked around. I didn't look at every you know, Perush, but I looked around. It's many of the Mefarshim. I didn't see anyone really addressing this. You know, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed this, orchestrated this meeting in a way where there was such a vast discrepancy between, you know, a disparity between what Shaul was expecting and what Shmuel was expecting out of this conversation. But just, you know, I think it puts it in perspective to see, like, where, you know, where this is coming from. Okay, Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayigash Shaul es Shmuel. Besoch HaShar. So Shaul approaches Shmuel, Besoch HaShar, in the gate. Vayomer Hagidon Ali, Eze Beis Haroe. Now Shaul has no idea who this is. He sees Shmuel. You know, he probably looks like a frum guy. He doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know that he's Shmuel. He doesn't know that he's a Navi. So he sees this individual. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates that they meet each other. And he sees him and he says, hey, do you know who the Navi is?
I guess the Navi didn't dress in anything special.
I guess the Navi didn't dress in any, you know, uniquely special way. Or at least Shaul wasn't aware of it. Right? And he just, you know, he thought he was some fellow. So let's see. This is interesting. Okay, so Shaul says, you know, hey, sir, excuse me, do you know where the prophet's house is? You know where the Navi's house is? So what's Shmuel's response? Vayan Shmuel es Shaul, pasuk yutes. So Shmuel responds to Shaul, Vayomer, Anochi Arove. Shmuel says, I'm the guy. I'm the Navi. Right? You're looking for me. Alei lefonai habama va'achaltem imi hayom. So Shmuel says, I'm the Navi, number one. Number two, I would like to invite you to come and eat from my karban. I just brought a karban on the bama. Right? The bama is this private mizbeach. I just brought a karban on the bama, this private mizbeach. And I'd like to invite you to come eat. V'shilachticha v'aboker, not only to come eat, but stay overnight. You'll eat today. You'll sleep over here tonight, and then tomorrow morning I'll send you on your way. V'chol asher bilvavcha agid loch. And whatever you want to know, whatever's in your heart, I'll tell you. Whatever's in your heart, I'll tell you. Now, presumably, you know, you just keep this disparity in expectations in the back of your mind as this conversation's unfolding. Okay? So Shaul is looking for his donkeys. So he comes, he finds the Navi. Presumably he just wants to ask the Navi a question. Hey, do you know where my donkeys are? I'll find the donkeys and I'll go home. Shmuel sees the next Melech Yisrael, not the next, the first Melech Yisrael. So he invites him. He invites him to stay over. He invites him to partake of the Karban. I'll send you tomorrow. Kol asher bilvavcha agid lach. According to Shaul, what do you think that's referring to? The donkeys. He's thinking, okay, he's going to tell me where the donkeys are. Why is he inviting me for a meal? Why is he asking me to sleep over? I don't know. But if he tells me where the donkeys are, I'll go along with it. Shmuel is thinking this is the first melech. I have to treat him like the up and coming king, right? I have to accord him special honor. This is the first Melech Yisrael. Not only that, but the Malbim says that Kol Asher Bilvavcha Agid Lach. That's not referring to the donkeys. Shmuel is saying, I'm the Navi. You're the first Melech Yisrael. Let's talk in learning. Do you have any doubts, any questions in Torah? Or even, the Malbim says, even in Chachma, in wisdom. A king had to be knowledgeable in many things. Right? So Shmuel says, let's have deep conversations about Torah, about Chachma, whatever you want to know, I'm here to tell you. Right? So just again, just highlighting this you know, wide disparity between Shaul's expectations, I'm just looking for my donkeys, you know, let me know where they are and I'll be on my way, and Shmuel, who's meeting for the first time the first Melech Yisrael and wants to accord him the proper honor. Now this response of Shmuel is fascinating, right? Shmuel says, Anochi Haroe. So if we would read this, you know, it doesn't seem like much. And the Radak says, Pashup Shad, there's nothing going on here, right? Shaul says, you know, where's the prophet? And Shmuel says, that's me. I'm the prophet, right? But he quotes Chazal. Then Chazal said that Shmuel was punished for this. Right? Shmuel was punished for this. Why was he punished? Because Anochi Haroe, there's a hint of arrogance. I'm the Navi. I'm the Navi. 100%, right? So that's why the Radak says, Pashup Shad, he doesn't do anything wrong. Because he asked him, where's the Navi? So he's got to respond to the question, right? He was asked, where's the Navi? How is he supposed to respond? So Chazal do offer, you know, basically what Chazal say is that there could have been a more humble way of Shmuel responding to this. You know, he could have said, you know, Shaul says, where's the Navi? And Shmuel could have said, how can I help you? You know, how can I help you? Kind of like alluding, hinting to the fact that he's the Navi without just coming out and saying, Anochi Haroe. So because of this, Shmuel was punished. Shmuel was punished. Why? Because we find later, after the whole incident with Shaul HaMelech, when David is going to be appointed as the next king, so Hashem sends Shmuel to the house of Yishai, David's father, to go choose the king, to go anoint the next king, right? David HaMelech. But Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't tell him exactly who it is. And Hashem says, oh, Anochi Haroe, you're the seer, you're the Navi? Okay, go figure it out. Go to Yishai and figure out which son is the one who's supposed to be the king. And he looks and he sees Eliav, the son of Yishai, who was the brother of David HaMelech, and he thinks he's the one who's going to be the king. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Al tabet al marehu. Don't look and see what you think. Yeah, this guy is, he's good looking, he's tall. Don't look at that. Right? That's not what defines the king. So essentially, Kadosh Baruch Hu was teaching Shmuel a lesson. Anochi Haroe, you think you're the seer, you can't see everything without my help. right? Don't think that it's all you. Anochi Aroah. You get your abilities from me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm the one who gives you the ability to be a Navi, to see things, to understand things, right? Whatever understanding you have comes from me, comes from the Ribono Shel Olam. Now again, we have to put this in perspective, that even according to this interpretation of Chazal, that Shmuel said something wrong here, there was a hint of arrogance, obviously Shmuel is being judged on a different level than you and I would be judged, right? You know, for regular people, this is not anything particularly arrogant, you know, to respond in this way. Like you said, Shmuel was asked a question, he responded. Where's the Navi? He says, I'm the Navi. That's it. Right? So, you know, he didn't really do much. But again, Shmuel, because of his lofty stature, because Shmuel is the Navi, because Shmuel is such a great person, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges tzaddikim kechut asayra. He's very, very specific, very careful, very, you know, very, very specific with the tzaddikim, and requires them to maintain a certain level of behavior. Sorry? Yeah.
So why would he punish him if he sees that he's losing? You know, so maybe he's not on the level like he once was.
Interesting. But I think when we say that he was losing some of his kochos, right, I don't think we mean that his ruchniistic level decreased at all. I think that's just referring to the physical kochos. He didn't have the same strength to go around and be mashpia the way that he once did. In terms of his spiritual stature, I don't think anybody thinks that Shmuel, you know, was any less of a spiritual giant towards the end of his life than he was 10, 15, 20 years earlier, you know, when he was growing up. I don't think spiritually there's anything different. I think it's more physically. Yeah. But we do see also, at least the lesson for us from Chazal, is how careful we have to be with arrogance, right? That even the hint of arrogance, right, Shmuel was punished for, that he made a statement which alluded to arrogance, Anochi Haroe. Right, even that, Kadosh Baruch Hu took him to task and punished him. And this reminds me of the Rambam in Hilchos Deos. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos says that when a person is refining their character traits, so they always have to try to be in the middle of the road. Right? So the classic example is a case of, you know, a character trait of generosity. A person has to be generous, but they can't be overly generous. Because if you're overly generous, you give away too much, you give away all of your belongings, and you don't have enough for you and your family. So you can't be overly generous, but at the same time, you can't be stingy. So you have to hit that sweet spot in the middle, right? The derech beinoni, that sweet spot in the middle of the road, where you're generous, not overly generous, and not stingy. Right in the middle of the road. But says the Rambam that there are character traits where, and this is the Rambam in Perek Beis of Hilchos Deos, he said there are character traits where she'asur lo la'adam linhog bohen bebeinonis, where a person is not permitted to be in the middle of the road, but rather he's got to go all the way to one extreme. What are those character traits where a person is not allowed to be in the middle of the road and has to go all the way to one extreme? One of them, says the Rambam, v'hu gova lev, arrogance, gaiva. She'ein derech hatova, and this is the language of the Rambam, she'yihia adam anav bilvat. It's not good enough to be an anav. It's not good enough just to be a humble person. Ela she'yihia shfal ruach. You have to be someone of low spirit, shfal ruach, which implies a very strong degree of humility, not typical humility. V'tiyah rucho nemucha l'me'od. A person has to have incredible humility. And he says that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was referred to as anav me'od. He wasn't just referred to as an anav. He was an anav me'od. And that's why he says also, Chazal, in their language, they say, Me'od, me'od, heve shfal ruach. Chazal in very few places use a language like that. Me'od, me'od. Why do they say that? Because this is something that you have to go all the way to one extreme. All the way to the extreme of humility. And he goes on to quote other Ma'amari Chazal, where Chazal say that anyone who has gaiva, it's like they're kofer be'ikar, it's like they're forgetting about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and denying his existence. So you see the importance of humility and the danger of even a little bit of gaiva. Anochi aroe, right? Even that was a little bit of a too much of a hint of gaiva, and therefore Shmuel was taken to task and Shmuel was punished. Okay, now what about the donkeys? Right, so good. So you know, Shaul's being invited for a suda, for a karbon. You know, he's staying over the night. He came for the donkeys. What about the donkeys? So Shmuel says, "Don't worry, I'll take care of your donkeys also." Right? Don't worry about the donkeys. The la'asonos ha'ovdos l'cha hayom pasuk chaf shloshes hayomim, and those donkeys that you've been searching for the donkeys for the last 3 days, al tosem es libecha lohem. Don't pay too much attention to them. Why? Kinimtzo. They were already found. They were already found. You can go home. They were already found. You don't have to worry about the donkeys. And furthermore, says the Malbim, even if they weren't found, you shouldn't worry about them anymore. Why? Ulami kol chemdas Yisrael. Because who's Klal Yisrael pining for? Who's Klal Yisrael longing for? Halo lecha ulechol beis avicha. Klal Yisrael wants you to be the next king. Right?
Was the general knowledge among Bnei Israel that everybody knew we were looking for a king?
Well, yes, because they came to Shmuel and asked for it.
So when Shmuel says this, does Shaul think of anything?
I don't think so. I mean, well, no, I shouldn't say that. No. Mefarshim say he does catch on. He catches on to what Shmuel is saying. Right? I'm not sure if it's because of the context, you know, of Bnei Yisrael's request. And Shmuel had basically told the people, okay, sit tight. You know, we're going to find one for you. You want a king? Okay. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, fine, sit tight, we're going to find one. So people were probably waiting in the wings a little bit to see, okay, you know, who's Shmuel going to come up with? Now, you know, so, but I think part of this, I think this statement, you know, the Mefarshim say, like this statement, and Rashi says, the other Mefarshim say here, this was an allusion to the kingship, right? Chemdas Yisrael, kol chemdas Yisrael halo lecha ulechol beis avicha, right? Klal Yisrael is looking for you. What does that mean? I'm looking for my donkeys. What do you mean Klal Yisrael is looking for me? So Shaul begins to realize, wait a minute, I think he's hinting to the fact that I'm going to be the king, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Offering him a job.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's the Nar in all this?
So right now we don't hear anything about the Nar.
He is still with him.
We'll see about him in a second. Not too much, but we'll see him mentioned soon. Okay. So now Shaul is taken aback, right? Again, to say the least. Shaul's looking for his donkeys. He comes to the prophet for that, and all of a sudden he's being offered the kingship of Klal Yisrael. Vayan Shaul vayomer, halo ben Yimini anochi, miktane shivta Yisrael. He says, I'm from Shevet Binyamin. Shevet Binyamin is the smallest of the Shvatim. The Malbim points out, why were they so small? Because of the battle at the end of Shoftim, Pilegesh Begiva, right? So Shevet Binyamin lost a lot of people. So it's a very small Shevet, right? So it's a very small Shevet, the smallest Shevet. Not only that, but says Shaul, Umishpachti hatzeira mikol mishpachol shivte Binyamin. My family in Binyamin is the youngest family. So I'm part of the smallest Shevet. My family is the youngest family in the Shevet. V'lama dibarta elai kadavar hazeh. Why are you talking to me about the kingship? Shaul saying, I'm not fit, right? Says the Mitzudas David, I'm not fit to be the king.
Maybe because he also knew that the kingship was coming from Shevet Yehuda.
Right. That's what
okay.
Said.
Okay. That's
what Joe was going to say.
That's what Joe was going to say also.
Said they're coming from Shevet Yehuda, so everybody would know that, huh?
So that maybe that's also part of Halo Ben Yamini Anochi, right? I'm from Shevet Binyamin, right? And then he says Miktane Shivtei Yisrael. I mean, number one, I'm from Binyamin, and I'm not supposed to be the king anyway, because the king's supposed to come from Shevet Yehuda, right? And even if you're telling me maybe there's some temporary ruling that the king can come from another Shevet, but Binyamin's the smallest Shevet. And even if you're telling me it's from Binyamin, I'm from the youngest family, right? So I think it's a good point, Marvin Ancho. I think it's a good point.
But we learn in Rus at the end of Rus, Yishai and David,
right?
David,
yeah,
David.
Right. Right, but I think also, you know, you see from here again that Jewish leadership, a lot of times comes from the unlikeliest of places, right? Like Aaron's mentioning Megillas Rus, you know, the David HaMelech came from Rus HaMoavia, and that whole story there, right? And even Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was a kvad peh, kvad lashon. He wasn't an orator. He wasn't a person that was, you know, that was anything special. He was incredibly special, but didn't seem to, you know, at first glance to people that he would be so special. He couldn't speak well. But you see, the Jewish leadership doesn't have as much to do with all of these things as much as a person who's roi lekach. And here, Shaul HaMelech, despite the fact that he was from Binyamin, despite the fact that Binyamin was the smallest, despite the fact that his family was the youngest, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, you're the one. Right? You're the one who is fit to be king. You think you're not fit, but you are fit to be king. Okay, Pasuk Chaf Beis. Vayikach Shmuel HaShaul V'yas Na'aro. Here we have the Na'ar again. So Shmuel takes Shaul and he takes the Na'ar. Vayiviyem Lishkasa. He brings them into the dining room. Right, Lishka is the chamber. He brings them into the dining room where everybody is partaking of this karban. Vayitan lehem makom berosh hakruim. He sits them at the head of the table. Vehema kishloshim ish. There are about 30 people there. The Malbim points out that 30 is not that many, right? You know, we might think of a 30-person meal as a big meal, but for Shmuel the Navi, hosting 30 people at a karban was not that many people. Says the Malbim, that shows you how chashuv these people were. These were 30 of the chashuvim, right? 30 of the great leaders of the Jewish people. And among this group of great leaders, he's taking Shaul and he's putting him at the head of the table, right? And so one of the Mefarshim points out that the Na'ar also goes to the head, right? Why? Servant of the king, right? The servant of the king also goes to the head of the table. But and Rashi says they were seated in according to their greatness. So everybody saw Shaul is being ushered right to the front, right to the head of the table, ahead of all of these other great people. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Vayomer Shmuel Atabach. So Shmuel calls to the kitchen, to the butcher, to the chef, and he says, Tenoa es hamona asher nasati loch. Remember yesterday I gave you that good steak. Remember yesterday I gave you that good portion, that good steak. I told you to set it aside. Bring it out now. It's for show. Right? So Shmuel put something away yesterday, a special portion. He put it away because he knew he was coming. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Ka'is Machar, 24 hours, so he's going to come. Pasuk Chav Dalet, Vayarem Hatabach Es Hashok. So the tabach takes the shok. The mefarshim say this is referring to some of the mefarshim say it's the chaz of a shok. This is the special portion that if it was a public bama like in the mishkan, this would have gone to the kohanim. But because it's a private bama, it doesn't have to go to the kohanim, but it's still a chashuv piece. So he took this piece that otherwise normally would have gone to the kohanim, a chashuv a piece. Vayasem lifnei Shaul, and he put it in front of Shaul. Vayomer, and he says, "Hinei anishar sim lefanecha echol." He says, "This is the portion that was set aside for you that we're putting before you eat." Ki lamoed shamur lecha, because this was already set aside for you from yesterday. Leimor ha'am karasi vayochal Shaul im Shmuel bayom ahu, right? Because Shmuel is telling him, "I knew you were coming. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me a nevuah that you were going to come." He said, right, you're going to come today at this time and you're the one who's going to be the king. So he was telling him that you're destined to be the melech. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me this nevuah. I set aside this piece of meat for you yesterday. That's the proof. Shaul ate with Shmuel that entire day. The Matzudas Tavod also says, Vayarem HaTabach, that he lifted it up. The Malbim says he lifted it up like almost like he was doing tenufa. They used to wave the chaz of a shok. So even though, again, this wasn't classic chaz of a shok, but he was waving it. But the Mitzvah Stavit said he carried it up high, like the chashav people were served. Pasuk chaf dalid chafei. Vayerdu mehabama ha'ir. So they came down from the bama, you know, where they were eating from the korban. They came down to the city. Vayidaberim shol alagag, and they went and they spoke, or he spoke, Shaul spoke with Shmuel on the roof, okay? And they say that basically Shmuel's apartment, Shmuel's loft, was on the second story, so they went to his place, and then they went up to the roof to talk. What they talk about? The Navi doesn't say exactly what they talked about. Rashi says that they spoke, that he gave him a little Musar, and he taught him how to have Yirah Shemayim. And the Malbim says, no, he taught him secrets of the Torah. He taught him godly matters, secrets of the Torah. So, but you see that Shmuel is getting him ready. He's preparing Shaul to be this king. Last two psukim.
But we don't know that's what he told him.
Well, we don't know for sure, but that's what the Mefarshim say. Chavav, the pasuk doesn't say anything about what they were talking about. Pasuk Chavav, Vayashkimu Vayhi Kealos HaShachar. So they got up early in the morning, around dawn. Vayikra Shmuel El Shaul Hagag, Hagaga, and again Shmuel calls Shaul up to the roof. Lemor, Kuma Veeshlachecha, get up, and I'm going to send you home. Vayakom Shaul, Shaul gets up. Vayetzu Shneim Hu Shmuel Achutza, and they both go out. Together outside. Pasuk Chav Zayin, Heima Yardim Miktzei Ha'ir. So they're walking down at the edge of the city. Shmuel is accompanying Shaul out. Ushmuel Omar El Shaul, and Shmuel says to Shaul, Emur Lanar V'Yavur Lefanenu. Tell your lad, tell your young man, the servant, to go up ahead. Mefarshim say that he didn't want him eavesdropping. He didn't want him to, they were talking about very lofty matters. He didn't want him listening in. Vayavor, and he went. Viata amod kayom, but you come and stand with me today. Viashmiacha es devar Elokim, and I'm going to inform you about the matter of God. I'm going to inform you what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. And this is how Shmuel recognizes that Shaul is going to be the king. He accords him the honor that he's due, and now he begins, explaining to him what it means to be king, right? What it means to focus on godly matters all the time and focusing on the Ribbono Shel Olam all the time, what all this means. And that's what he's beginning. He's beginning to train Shaul to be the king. Just conclude with the final thought. It's a very strange story. It begins in a strange way, with this finding of the donkeys. And then, and then all of a sudden, boom, Shaul's the king. So on the one hand, I was thinking it's almost similar to some of the Midrashim talk about David HaMelech and Moshe Rabbeinu, they were all shepherds. Right? They were all shepherds, taking care of the animals. So here also we see a certain care and concern for the animals. We see a certain kibud av ha'eim that Shaul went for days looking for his father's donkeys. He could have told his father, okay, let's buy new donkeys. What's the big deal? But no, his father wanted him to go, so he went. We see the maila of that. But I think also it teaches us that often in life, we think that we're on a certain path. We think we're heading in a certain direction. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu just tells us, just make a right here because I'm sending you in a different direction. We think we're doing X. We think we're doing Y. We think we're headed somewhere. And we think we're doing something. And all of a sudden HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, hey, look alive. Look out. I'm sending you somewhere else. I have a different mission for you. And we have to be attuned to these other missions. Just like, Shaul was sensitive to hear what Shmuel had to say and recognize that, listen, I'm not just coming here for my donkeys, and I'm coming here to be anointed as the king. And even though he was taken aback at first, he didn't think he was Roy Lakach. But Shmuel says, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you are, you're fit to be the king. So sometimes we have to also, put up our antennas and look for the signs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends to us in our lives of the path that we're supposed to take, the directions that we're supposed to take, the things that we're supposed to do for us, for our families, for Klal Yisrael, and listen to those messages, because sometimes there are signs, there's road signs that we're supposed to make a left, we're supposed to make a right, and if our head is buried too much in the sand, sometimes we'll miss those markers. But I think just it's such a jarring experience here that Shaul had one perspective and just totally was, pushed in a different direction to be the Melech Yisrael, the unlikeliest of places, but that's essentially one of the lessons, I think, that the Navi is telling us. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. Thank you for joining in person, joining on Zoom, and have a wonderful night. Amir Tzachem will pick up next week with Perek Yud.